Today, a report from the Wall Street Journal reveals just how many strings the White House pulled in order to manipulate the outcome of the debt showdown that played out this past week. Key Obama administration officials, including White House Chief of Staff Bill Daley, Senior Advisor Valerie Jarrett, and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, enlisted top CEOs to contact lawmakers personally and pressure them to increase the debt ceiling or be blamed for roiling the markets. Here now to discuss are my Freedom Fighters, Fox Business reporter, and my colleague, Sandra Smith, Newsday columnist Ellis Hennekin, and Matt Welsh, Reason Magazine editor-in-chief. Matt, to you first. We now know that this letter that all these bankers wrote to the president and to members of Congress was actually scripted by somebody in the White House. So the White House asked the bankers to write a letter back to the White House in an effort to get people to raise the debt ceiling. Who is in cahoots with whom, Matt Welsh?
Look, it's been like this for decades, unfortunately. Anytime that there's any piece of major legislation, you can be sure that the kind of revolving door between the White House and Goldman Sachs and Citigroup is going to be working in high order to get it done. We saw it with Obamacare. We've seen it with all kinds of threatening letters to people who said that they're going to have to raise the cost of their health insurance because of the new Obamacare legislation. It's an ugly trend, and unfortunately, it's been around for a while.
Sandra, what happens on Wall Street when something like this is revealed? Do shareholders like corporate favoritism? Do corporate boards like when CEOs become cronies of the White House to the point where the White House would suggest the language in a letter and then they would sign the letter and send it back to the people who suggested it and pretend to all of us that they actually wrote this letter?
No, because, you know, right now there's so much transparency. The American people are seeing right through all of this. They know that this is going on. And the number one thing, the only reason that the White House, that President Obama should be meeting with these bankers, meeting with these CEOs, and meeting with the big banks judge is to talk to them about how to promote growth in this country and how to grow business. That's all people want to hear right now, and that's not what's
happening. Ellis Hennekin, do you see ethical problems with something like this? The White House writes a letter and gives it to these people, and they sign it as if they had written it to the White House.
Judge, I feel like this is the Wizard of Oz, and I'm pulling the curtain back. Of course they're all in cahoots with each other. I mean, this is the way our system works. Powerful people, people with money, try to influence politicians. Politicians try to influence them back. If you don't like that, you don't like our political system. In fact, that might not be a bad point.
Welsh, is there no purity here? Are these supposed saviors of the free market just interested in government favoritism and government handouts?
Let's never confuse business, or and especially big Wall Street business, with free market capitalism. People who are in business are looking to secure their advantage, and they will use corporatism and political power within an inch of their life and regulation that is supposed to crack down on them to secure their advantage. That's how the system works.
Does this substantiate my argument, which I've been making for a long time, that we don't really have two parties in this country? We have just one, the big government party with a Democratic wing and a Republican wing. Stated differently, would you be surprised if this happened under a Republican administration as well?
No, so you're absolutely right. And there's a little bit of a business cheering section and maybe a Hollywood cheering section. But, yeah, come on. The only people out of cahoots are Sandra, Judge, Ellis, and Matt.
But you know what, Judge? The biggest problem right now, and, you know, you can reference the sell-off that we saw today. The biggest problem is it makes you feel like, as a smaller retail investor, it makes you feel like you don't even have a shot.
Right.
When you know that these banks and the White House is in cahoots with the banks and they're doing things behind closed doors, it makes you think that as much research and that you could do and as much knowledge as you have, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because there's going to be things that are decided for you and the government's going to overstep their boundaries.
I want to get to what happened today. They rushed a bad debt deal to avoid a market sell-off. But guess what? We have a market sell-off of more than 500 points in a day. Look at those numbers. Matt Welsh, is one reason why it's a bad agreement is that it keeps us on the road to financial perdition.
Yes, that is one reason why it's a bad agreement, obviously. We are doing nothing substantially to cut the long-term projected growth of government, and that is the problem that got here in the first place. I don't know if that is the reason for today's drop. I think people who look for one-day moves in the stock market to explain all political fortunes are taking the shortcut.
Well, you know, they warned us that the sky would fall,
yes,
that we would have
fell.
Armageddon if we didn't do the debt deal. Guess what? They did the debt deal, and the market's falling.
I can't tell you how many emails, Judge, I got saying just that from all of our sources, you know, all of our viewers today saying, wait, hold on a second. We thought we were preventing this sell-off from happening. It's indeed happening. Why, Judge? Because the focus is going back to how awful the U.S. economy is. Today we learned that our debt is 100% of GDP. This situation's bad, and it's not getting better anytime soon because of the bad policies.
The government collects $2.2 trillion a year and spends $3.7 trillion a year. The Congress just said, go ahead and do that for the next 2 years. At some point, this has to catch up with you, Alice Hennigan.
Yeah.
Isn't it catching up today?
And let me be selfish. Last week, I thought I could retire at 107. This week, I think it's probably 114. And you're going to have to be about 260, I think, before they let you out of here.
But you can't afford it anymore. Is the market telling the government you have to stop borrowing and spending? And is it doing so in a dramatic fashion today?
It's saying is you have to be rational and grown up about it. There are probably five different routes we could take to get there, and we're not taking any of the five.
Matt Welch, the big government folks would say, you know what, we lost 500 points today. We would have lost 1,000 points today had we not borrowed that money.
Here's the number you need to look at. Standard & Poor's has said that they're going to downgrade long-term U.S. debt if we don't get our debt to GDP ratio down to about 73% in 4 years. As we just mentioned, it's at 100% now. It is literally impossible at current trajectories to get anywhere close to that. That is the catastrophe, and the debt ceiling agreement did absolutely nothing to fundamentally address that situation.
Sandra, I'll give you the last word. We have about 30 seconds. How long can we go on like this when the total gross domestic economic product is equivalent to our national debt?
It's going to go on for a long time because the same bad, failed policies are in place that do not promote growth in this country, Judge. That's the biggest problem right now. That's why nobody wants to buy into the U.S. stock market, because there's nothing in place that's going to help corporations and big business
or small business. When I said the debt ceiling should not be raised?
It's a tough question, but
I know you love me. You love me, and I love you too. Matt Welch, Alice Hennigan, Sandra Smith, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us, guys.